Good morning, Cole.
Good morning. My bracket is a mess.
Well, I don't think you're the only
everybody.
One.
Nobody's winning the $1 billion from Warren Buffett. It's not going to happen. And this has been a wild, wild tournament. But with all the upsets, I think that makes what Florida has done that much more notable to this point. The Gators had a lackluster victory over Albany on Thursday. Just one note on that game. In the last 20 years, number one seeds like Florida who win their first game by 12 points or less have never won a national championship. But I think you can throw out some of those historical things because the way the tournament is this year. They bounced back much better in their game on Saturday, really shut down Pitt. A very impressive performance there, defensively in particular. Florida's going to face UCLA in Memphis on Thursday now.
Mm-hmm.
UCLA's a red-hot team. They won the Pac-12, really playing well at the end of the year. So this is not going to be an easy out by any stretch of the imaginations. But if the Gators win there against UCLA, they'll face the winner of Stanford and Dayton, a 10 seed against an 11 seed. Dayton is one of the Cinderella stories of the tournament as an 11. Stanford is a 10, just knocked off Kansas yesterday. I'm going to try to keep it together after saying that. So this has just been an absolutely wild tournament, and you start to look at some of the, you know, the Cinderella stories. We're guaranteed, as I mentioned, to have a double-digit seed in the regional finals because of that 10 versus 11 matchup. You've got an 11 seed in Tennessee that's still alive. You've got the number one and undefeated Wichita State knocked out by Kentucky yesterday, although, you know, looking at that bracket beforehand, everybody kind of said, you know what, that's a pretty tough road to hoe for Wichita State. So we'll have no undefeated team. Virginia's still alive as a number one seed. Arizona's still alive and Florida. So three of the four number one seeds are still alive. But after that, pretty much all bets are off.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been a wild tournament already, and I expect it will continue to be a pretty crazy March Madness.
Yeah, I think if anyone's bracket is doing well, they arrived in a DeLorean Back to the Future style.
1.21 gigawatts would have hurt.
Yeah, exactly. And I'm so sorry about your Kansas team.
Thank you. That is very gracious as a Missouri girl.
Yes. So Florida State, we'll talk another big rivalry here. Returning to Jacksonville, this time for baseball.
Yeah, and this has been a really great event for the last several years, kind of becoming an annual thing to see Florida and Florida State play. About 1,000 tickets remain for the game for tomorrow night at the baseball grounds. A lot of energy and excitement this year, not only because it's Florida State, but Jameis Winston will be in town, the
Heisman Trophy
winner, who's also doubling as the Seminoles closer. He leads the team with four saves. He's also played some outfield where he shows off his famous arm on a couple of outfield assists this year.
Some people get all the talent.
Yeah, and he's making good use of it, obviously. And one of the reasons he went to Florida State is because he wanted to be able to play both football and baseball. And FSU has had a few guys who have played multiple sports in the past. You know, Deion Sanders, Charlie Ward, those guys pop right to mind in terms of the past there.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of arms and quarterbacks,
yes,
let's make the transition to football. And Thursday, Johnny Manziel will hold his pro day at Texas A&M. Jaguars are going to be there to watch Johnny football, see how he does. On this past Friday, the Houston Texans traded Matt Schaub to the Raiders. So it seems to make sense that Houston's going to take a quarterback with the number one pick. That could be Manziel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you've got the state of Texas impact there.
Right.
May also be Blake Bortles from UCF, who had a very good pro workout. It does not look like it's going to be Teddy Bridgewater. He was less than impressive in his pro day. Could still be a first-round pick, but I'd be shocked if he were the number one pick. So as we stand here today, here's how I think the first three picks of the draft will go. I think the Texans will take a quarterback, probably Bortles, but it could be Manziel. Then the Rams have the number two pick. They need offensive line help. There are a couple of very good tackles who could go there, but I think you'll see the Rams trade back. And here's why this is important for the Jaguars. If a team trades up to get a quarterback, the Jaguars could take South Carolina defensive end Jadeveon Clowney, who I think is the most physically talented player in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
If the Rams or some other team, whoever trades with them, pick Clowney, then the Jaguars would have to decide whether one of the remaining quarterbacks is worth taking at number three, or whether they want a wide receiver like Sammy Watkins from Clemson, or if they'll pick a small school player like Khalil Mack, who's a pass rusher from the University of Buffalo.
What would you recommend, Cole?
In that case, I think I'd go with Sammy Watkins.
Okay.
I'm not sold on any of these quarterbacks as surefire franchise guys. Manziel would get a lot of interest and a lot of buzz. But I am not a believer in drafting a player just for the marketing value. If you think he can play,
Tim Tebow.
In fact, we had this conversation in the green room with folks talking, and this is, you don't draft a player just to sell tickets.
Right.
You draft a player to win, and winning sells tickets better than anything else. And, of course, it's been a while.
And the Jaguars sure could use that.
There's no doubt about it. So if you take a quarterback in the top 10, you have to be convinced that he's your guy. And as we have learned over the past two times where this has happened, where the Jaguars have drafted a quarterback in the top 10, if he's not the guy, it really sets your program back. So you can pick a wide receiver in the second round or the third round who you might be able to develop. The Jaguars don't have to have a quarterback right now because they have Chad Henne to at least be that bridge guy, that stopgap, veteran, not a star.
Mm-hmm.
But don't reach. Don't try to fit a square peg into a round hole when drafting a quarterback.
All right, and now we move on to golf.
And Matt Every, the Jacksonville Beach resident, former Gator, earned his first career PGA Tour victory yesterday at Bay Hill. A special moment for Every, not just because he earned over $1 million by doing it, which, hey, nice payday. Who needs to win your bracket when you can just win a golf tournament? But Every grew up in Daytona, and Bay Hill is, in effect, his home tournament. He's been, this also earns him a spot in the Masters. He's never played the Masters before, so it was a big day for Matt Every.
Yeah,
no doubt
him.
About it. Yep.
That's wonderful. And, of course, before we let you go, we need to talk about barbecue.
Well, we could do this all day, and I have in some cases, but the Jacksonville Backyard Barbecue Championships are less than a month away. Saturday, April 19th at Everbank Field.
This is your thing. This is your deal.
This is the sixth year that we've put this on, and it's a fundraiser for the Glenn Cook Memorial Scholarship for Daniel Kids. Does a great job to help pay the cost of college for kids who have previously been homeless and have gone through Daniel's Project Prepare. We already have over 40 teams registered. We expect to have about 60 teams, and the great part of this is that when you go to the event, you get to sample barbecue from those teams, and you will, if you walk out of there hungry, you only have yourself to blame, because there's always lots of barbecue to go around, and it's for a great cause.
Is this Kansas City-style barbecue because it's your tournament?
Well, what we've done is created a scoring system using a hybridized version of the Florida Barbecue Association, the Memphis Barbecue Network, and the Kansas City Barbecue Society. So,
this sounds very official.
It sounds official. I like to make it sound really impressive. And we've created a scoring system that does not necessarily favor a particular style, but it does favor quality. And so we have certified barbecue judges as well as a number of celebrity judges who will be there judging.
Uncertified.
Perhaps certifiable.
I'm a judge, so I know that there are uncertified judges participating.
Yeah, yes. And so what we do, we ensure that all the pro teams have certified judges judging, and the backyard teams will have some certified and some celebrity judges. But we've set up the scoring system. So you can do Memphis style, you can do Kansas City style, you can do Texas style, whatever you want, Carolina style. But ultimately, it's about the quality of the barbecue, the appearance, the texture, and the flavor. And that's what really sets the great barbecue from just the good barbecue.
Sounds like a lot of fun. Coming up April 19th at Everbank Field. Thank you so much, Cole.
Thanks, Karen.